Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Muncy fouls it back right down below us. And that ball bounces up into the booth, and Ron Coomer makes a barehanded grab.
Welcome back, everybody. You've got the Ameristar at Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show. It usually features Patrick Manley and Olin Kreutz. I am Bob Arkish. Olin has had to move on to his TV duties, but we've got a pretty good fill-in for him here. We are out live today at Coombs Corner Sports Grill in Lockport. Really easy to get out here, guys. 1225 East 9th Street. Hop right off at 355. We're going to be here all day. Got the post-game show as well with Patrick Manley and James Big Cat Williams. We are here courtesy of Miller Lite. Hold true. And we got the boss here, also the voice of the Chicago Cubs. Great to have Ron Coomer with us this morning. Ron, good morning.
Well, good morning, guys. And it's great to have you here in the good town of Lockport. I know it's a little haul for you guys, but thank you very much. And thanks to Miller for you guys being able to come out. But how about this? We're in Lockport. This is what you guys bring to the table.
I got to tell you, man. I had not left our little mobile studio here. I just made my way to the men's room from there. You got a mob in here, man. There's a good crowd out here at Coombs Corner. So
wait till you see your autograph line come.
That'll be a short line, but that's okay. Hey, listen, we're going to talk a little Bears football with you as well, but we can't have you and not at least get a quick comment from you. There's been a lot of change at Wrigley Field as well. You got a new manager, and just your thoughts real quick about what the Cubs are doing.
Well, the new manager is, to me, he was one of those guys they've been grooming to do this. That's no secret. David was my teammate in Los Angeles my last year in the big leagues, his first year, and he was my locker mate. And, Patrick, you know what that's like. You're around each other all the time. And you could see David had the work ethic. He had all the intangibles that were going to make him a good baseball player. And he turned out to be a very good player, but a backup catcher. But he understood his role. And then he understood how the game plays. And then, the personal aspect of dealing with people. When you're a head coach, you're a manager, you've got to get the most out of your guys. And I think David will be fine there. And the stern part that's been talked about in the media, that won't be a problem. He's a catcher, and he's a hothead at times, and that'll be just fine.
Ron, the one question I have is guys playing with a former teammate as their manager, and I look at the guy who was sitting there before you, Olin Kreutz. He's a guy, to me, that I could play for. I had the respect for if he became my head coach as a current player. Is that the same way it is in that locker room with those guys?
Without question. David was another coach on the bench. I'll tell you, the first week of him being in Chicago, I remember Travis Wood, our left-handed pitcher, was a good hitter, but he's still a pitcher. Anyway, you slice it, he's still a pitcher.
It's like a specialist.
And so he comes into the game, and he goes to bat, and we're behind by a run, and he swings at a 3-0 pitch. And he makes an out. Then the next pitch, he comes back to the dugout. And I remember David pulling me aside the next day, goes, could you believe he swung? So what he did, as soon as Travis Wood came to the bench, it didn't come from a coach, he grabbed Travis Wood and said, don't ever do it again. That's all you need to know about David. That was his first week in a Cubs uniform.
Huh. This is the Sportsbook at Ameristar Bears pregame show here at The Score, but we are out at Coombs Corner, and we've got the man himself here. And, Ron, I can't not ask you, obviously a little bit of frustration amongst Cubs fans, as which I'm one of the fanatics. And yet so much talent on this team, but the reality is coming, not this year but the year after. You've got Baez and Bryant, by today's standards, are both, if not $300 million, $250 million players. Riz has got to get $150 to $200 million. Wilson Contreras is probably a $150 million player. They're not all staying. So have they got a run in them this year? And if not, do they start preparing for the future now? What do you sense is going to happen next?
I would say it's a yes and yes to both questions. Do they have a run in them this year? Absolutely. This team is a very good team. They've got some holes in the leadoff spot. We've got a hole in center field that we got to fix. And in the rotation, all fixable things. But when you talk about a core group, they've got a very good one. And that is the big key to me. The group, the core is very good. The thing you don't want to have happen here in Chicago, which has happened in Philly and in San Francisco with their championship teams, is you held on to everybody way too long, and they all got very old at one time, and now you're in a major rebuild, and that's what you don't want to have happen. So I would anticipate there's going to be a move this year, and somebody's favorite player is going to go somewhere else, and you're going to bring in three or four young, talented players, and that's a crapshoot, but that's what's going to happen this year, and it might happen again next year. But you're going to see a couple guys that you have been part of that core will end up leaving, and you'll have to replace some of that.
Ron, what do the behind-the-scenes move mean to the Cubs right now? You know, not all through the coaches, massage therapists, people like that. I know in our locker room, if we got a new equipment manager, or, well, we never did because Tony Medlin's been there forever, but just say, for example, we get a new equipment manager, right, new strength staff, new training staff. Those are the people as a player you interact with every day, all the time. Is that kind of the same thing that's going on there?
Patrick, it's exactly the same, and we lost our strength coach, Tim Buss. Timmy has been there. His first year in the Cubs was my year playing in 2001. That's how long he's been there, and he's kind of one of them glue guys, so they're going to have to try to figure out who's going to be that guy. You know where he ended up? In Anaheim with Joe Maddon, so that'll tell you. But he is. He's one of those glue guys, and they got to try to replace that.
And what that did to me whenever that happened, it felt like I was walking into a new Hallis Hall, even if we had the same coaches, because it was a different set of eyes on you. It was a different evaluation, a different guy looking at you, doing your squats, bench, or whatever, a different trainer evaluating your body, and it kind of put me on edge a little bit.
Without question, and I think that's by design by Theo. There is no doubt. He was very disappointed the last 2 years of how the season ended. And I think with all the new facilities and all the new things and in the success this team had, I think that's what he's looking for, is to put guys on edge a little bit and create that edge, which
nothing
the guy was
that.
Sitting in this seat, Olin, he created the edge
yes,
for the Chicago Bears.
Yes,
and I think the Cubs are looking for that guy.
Ron, I hate to do this to you, but people do it to us every day with the Bears, and you know the job, I got to ask the question. The two guys who are clearly going to bring the most in return – and the two guys who you probably can't keep together because of what they're going to cost are KB and Javi.
Right.
And so if you got to pick, which way do you go and why?
Well, first of all, I think it's determined on what you're getting in return, right? So both of those guys, what you're going to get in return and how that's going to affect your club for the next 4 or 5 years is what you're looking at. For me, I look at Javi and go, I know Theo said there's no one untouchable. He's untouchable to me. He brings that much to the table. You know, he's the guy that can play the whole game and do it at the highest level, the elite level, offense, defense, running the bases. He just brings it, and he brings an energy to the team that you can't replace. So of all the guys that we have, I would say Javi is number one in the untouchables, if there is such a thing. So I would say Javi's first. The other guy that, to me, is our leader of our ball club, and as he goes, we go, is Anthony Rizzo.
And pitching has been an issue. How do you solve pitching? How do you fix that in today's baseball game?
The way the Cubs have done it, Patrick, for years, is they've gone out and drafted position players, and they've signed pitchers. I don't think that's going to change that much, although now it could change a little bit with this upcoming draft. But I anticipate by trade or by free agency, the Cubs going after some frontline pitchers. There's one good one that was in the World Series. I know in Anaheim they're going after him, and I think we're going to go after him too. That kid who pitched in Texas, he's pretty good, that Cole Garrick.
Ron, I know you're not around all during the Cubs off season, other things, mm-hmm. family commitments and whatever, so it's not necessarily easy for you to cover the Bears. You know,
oh, I'm a Bears fan.
I know you're
I
a fan. Well, that's
city,
where I'm going buddy. Here, yeah. So without getting into the nitty-gritty of it, you see a team that came out of nowhere last year.
Right.
They go to 12-4, and we've seen it happened with the Cubs in 15, you know. Mm-hmm. And so now all of a sudden they can't get it done again, and I'm curious what your thoughts are about the way things are going so far for the Bears this year.
I think you're seeing a little bit of a parallel between the Cubs and the Bears. When you look at young players in any league, whether it be Major League Baseball, the NFL, the NBA, or the NHL, when young players come into a league and they have success, the league is going to look at that and go, okay, now what do we do to stop that and make them make an adjustment to the league? And I saw that from the World Series year, and we're seeing that now, how some of our young players, the league has adjusted to them, and now they took a step back. And I think last year, Mitch, you know, had a small part of the offense that he ran, but the Bears did very well. Their defense was incredible, which has been something the Bears have been great with for years and years and years since I was a kid. The league has changed a little. They've made the adjustment to them, and now it's the Bears' turn from the head coach and the quarterback to adjust back. And that's, you know, from me being, you know, the baseball guy looking at football, that's what I see, is the league's made the adjustment, and now it's their turn.
Ron, in this city, it's a football town, because we only have one team.
I hate saying it,
right?
Patrick,
I know that. And all these fans in here, they bleed blue and orange.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing you're the same way, what it sounds like that. But if the Bears lose, does it affect the rest of your week like it does these people here waiting for the next Sunday?
Week? We don't even have to go a week. This place will clear out in a heartbeat when we lose. Yeah, I come in every Sunday, try to, and be here for all the games. You see what you guys have brought here coming out. We never open at 9 in the morning. At 9 o'clock, there were people lined up outside, so that's what it brings. That's what Bears football brings and what you guys bring. And we all know this. Football drives so much of the economics in the city for businesses and things like that. And when the Bears had a great year last year and really took off, we didn't have enough seats in the place.
It makes this job a lot easier, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no doubt.
So I kind of get the feel. One of my best friends in the business is Tommy Thayer. He was my broadcast partner when I was still calling the games on the radio. And we kind of kiddingly call him the mayor of Joliet.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you know, Coombs, we get out and about quite a bit, and we're in a lot of great spots around town. Have not seen a crowd like this on a Sunday morning at 9 o'clock and doing this. Why do I get the feeling that Ron Coomer's kind of the honorary mayor of Lockport?
Well,
is there something to that? Or?
Well, it's nice. You know, we bought this place. This is our hometown, and my partners are all buddies, right? We all grew up together. We got a county coroner. We got an accountant. We've got all of our friends, my old teammates, are partners with me. And this is what we wanted. We wanted community in our town, and for me to come back and be a part of what our town does. We had the youth Porter football team won a state championship yesterday. So right where you're sitting, they had the big trophy here. You know, the Homer team down the street, their big football program. We wanted that in our town, and our high school has adopted, you know, we've kind of partnered with them to really try to be a part of the community, not just be an establishment to hang out at. That's what we wanted, and that's what's fun. And Tommy's driver 9-iron from here in Joliet, so we got a little competition. That Joliet Catholic group, we're never real happy about them, but it's great. No, this is awesome. This is why we do this.
It's driver three-wood for me, but I'll leave the golf talk to you guys. So that's
Ronnie, you and I need to get on the course.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I wanted to ask you a professional question about what you do now. Is you had a great career in Major League Baseball. I had a chance to play a long time and playing football. Did you know you wanted to get into broadcasting? Was it potentially getting into coaching? Or did you just want to stay around the game and just figure it out?
Patrick, when I was a kid, a little kid, growing up here in Chicago, I would listen to Jack Brickhouse broadcast, and I would sprint home from school to watch the Cubs' last four innings of a game, and that's what I thought I wanted to be. I even went to college in communications. Who knew I could hit, right? I mean, you just didn't know, and it worked out. But I really thought when I was playing in the big leagues, I would get into managing and being a manager. And that didn't work out right away. I just needed a year off from playing all those years. And I got a phone call from Fox. And next thing you know, would you like to broadcast? Would you like to try it? I thought, well, maybe for a year or two, this might work out. Well, 16 years later, we're still doing it. And I'm extremely happy. I thought I would have a chance at doing this, maybe. Like you kind of see how things work in our business. But I couldn't be happier. I'm ecstatic about being back in my hometown. And doing Cubs games, and you know, we got a great boss who's here. It's just everything works out, right? I mean, it just does. Mitch has given Pat and I all this freedom to do what we do, and you know, there's a worse office than Wrigley Field, you know.
And I worked a little bit with Zach Zabin. That's how I kind of got into the broadcasting business. I did Bears All Access with Zach. How is it working with Zach, and how's he doing?
Double Z's doing good. I was listening to him Friday night through the DePaul game as I was driving to our Cubs party at Crane's house. Zach's a 10. He came in, and he was nervous about not knowing our game like he knew football. And I'll tell you what, because of the impact of of Tommy and Jeff and how hard they work and his work ethic. He picked it up immediately. He listened. He wanted to know what Pat was doing. And our booth is, it just rolls along. It's so much fun to go to work every day.
The ginger-haired genius.
Yeah,
it's
right?
Okay to call him Carrot Top.
He
won't like it, but I did it for years. So, and really, Ron, I want to let you get back to all your guests here, but one last question before we let you go. I got asked because I want to say I was in my third or fourth year in the Bears booth when Dwayne Stass decided it was time to move on and Pat Hughes came to Chicago. And, I mean, we are so blessed here. I worked with Wayne Larrabee for many years, maybe the best NFL radio play-by-play guy in the business. Pat Hughes is – I just feel like I'm with family and friend listening to the game, and I got to believe it's kind of like that in the booth with you guys.
There's no doubt. One of the first things he said to me when I came to Chicago to broadcast, I want you to say anything and everything you want to say during our three-hour broadcast. And – have open mic to do whatever. Same thing with Zach. And, you know, that's why Pat's going to be a Hall of Famer. He is that. You've been in this business a long time. There's some of you guys that have done this, hosting and calling games, that it just, there's a rhythm to it and there's an ease. And, you know, I just try to stay out of the way and add my 2 cents once in a while. But when you're going to throw HOF behind somebody's name, you let him roll and do it.
Well, you have been a fantastic addition to our Cubs broadcast. It's just so much fun to get to listen to you and Pat. It's great to all be working at the same place now.
Right.
Great spot out here, guys. If you have not been to Coombs Corner Sports Grill in Lockport, you got to get out here. Today would be a good time. We've got the Ameristar Sportsbook pregame show going until noon. We'll be here for postgame as well. Patrick Manley here, Big Cat Williams. When Cat walks in, everybody will know because the sun will be blocked out for a minute or two, and then we'll see some light coming around the edges.
I gotcha.
So, guys, come on out to Coombs Corner today. And Ron, thank you so much for having us.
Patrick and Ola, thank you guys for coming out, Mitch and Miller. Hey, we've got a packed house, and I thank you guys for coming out.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here when we get back. If you want to give us a call, 312-644-6767. Another one of our Hall of Fame buddies, Dan Pompey, is going to be joining us in about 20 minutes. So we've got lots more on the Sportsbook and Ameristar pregame show here at 670 The Score coming up right after this.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Has there been any point or any time this year where you've noticed a different attitude or a different approach amongst yourself and your teammates?
I mean, you asked the wrong guy. I don't really care about nothing else that's buzz and all that type of stuff. They come to me and ask me questions that I really don't, you know what I'm saying? Did you hear this? I don't really know what they talk about because I don't really care about what's being said on the outside. Only thing we can work on and control is in the building and out there on the practice field and going out on Sundays and making the buzz do something else maybe.
Chicago Bears All-Pro linebacker Khalil Mack talking to you here on the Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show featuring Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley. I am Hub Arkish, and guys, you want to come on out this week. We are live out at Coombs Corner Sports Grill in Lockport. Real easy to get to. We are here courtesy of our friends at Miller Lite, Hold True. And it's interesting that was actually, I talked to Khalil on Friday, and that was my question. And he didn't. I had a follow-up because I wasn't really asking him, Pat, about what people are saying. I was talking about, you know, your teammates themselves in preparation. And then he got back to the second part of the answer. He said, oh, okay, I'm sorry, I misunderstood. He said, you know, one thing about these guys is that we are working as hard as you can possibly work. I don't think it has anything to do with that. And I don't doubt that. You know, we talked about this earlier, and this is where, unless you've, you know, put on the pads and played the game, I don't think anybody can really understand. You go to work, you work hard, you train, you do all these things, but then there's that kind of fine edge. There's that mental edge that you get when you're really playing well and you're feeling good about yourself and your team, and that's when you perform your best, and it's that last step that this team just doesn't seem to be able to take right now.
And I think that goes back to how comfortable they were with Vic Fangio as their defensive coordinator and how many years and reps and practice reps and practices they had in that system where – you know, you hear people talk about that nonverbal communication, which can happen in the defensive backfield, communication up front on stunts with the D-line and the linebackers. I think we're starting to see that a little bit now, that it's not there like it was last year. There was some gashes in the run game last week, and maybe that was communication errors, missed assignment errors from not being on the same page. And I think that's what we're seeing a little bit. You can work as hard as you want, and your physical labor, your physical work is put in, but if you blow those mental assignments, that can be it can actually be bigger than a physical bust.
You know, I know we've talked a little bit about this, and again, for folks who are just joining us, all kinds of changes out there. Matt Stafford is inactive with a bad back. It'll be Jeff Driscoll at quarterback for the Detroit Lions. Some significant changes for the Bears as well. Adam Shaheen is a healthy scratch. They are flip-flopping James Daniels and Cody Whitehair back, with Whitehair back at center and Daniels back at guard. And you know, Pat, Olin had to move on to his TV duties, but, you know, not real wild about this move. I'll go a step further. I just think it's dumb. I don't understand why they're doing it. And what I had been hearing, it's not that James Daniels was not blocking all that well. It was all about the line calls and the communication and all that. And so I would ask you the question, why can't Cody Whitehair just make the calls from guard? Why do they have to switch positions?
Well, that's a great question. I don't know why. I mean, I don't know why they're doing it either. And then the point Olin made, he made it later in the week, I think, on the Mack and Parkin show, and he said it a little bit right before he went to break, and it hit me hard, was that making this move, that's basically a guy getting fired from his job, which is James Daniels having to move back to left guard, and that's on Mitch Trubisky. That's when things are going bad, and he should look himself in the mirror and say, man, there is something wrong between me and James, and I need to point the thumb at myself and saying this is my fault a little bit as well, as why he's moving over. I don't know why you can't do that, but they obviously feel more comfortable moving him back. Maybe they just feel that James just isn't there at all. That might be the question, that he's really not getting all the calls, any of the relayed calls from Cody Whitehair, because Olin was talking earlier as well that he put on the TV copy and heard Cody Whitehair tell James Daniel, watch the Pirates. That means watch a game, watch a stunt. He didn't pick it up at all and wasn't aware to it. So maybe he just needs to step back mentally and just say, all right, we're going to put you in there. You go be the physical player you can. You can basically wipe your brain out and let Cody make all the calls, and you just worry about getting better at blocking. That could be the only reason why that I would see it happening.
You know, the thing that's a little frustrating about it, we all – watch a lot of, I don't think anybody watches as much tape as Olin, but
no. Nope.
You know, I know you watch a lot of tape. I watch a lot
watch
of tape.
I don't watch as much as he does. I don't know how he gets it in. There's only 24 hours in the day.
I got to believe, I want to say, I know Josh is a junior, James is a sophomore. My guess is that when they're done at Loyola, that maybe Olin goes back to doing a little professional coaching, but we'll see what happens there. What I just am so frustrated by, though, is that watching that tape, there are things that James Daniels does really well at center. I mean, I keep seeing a potential Pro Bowler there. And to do this in season, you can't worry too much about the mental aspect of it. You know, guys, and forgive me if this sounds mercenary, but you guys, not you anymore, you're retired now, get paid a lot of money to do something in public, to stand up to some of the pressure and some of the, you know, exposure that comes with it. The mental part of it, it's tough. He's going to have to get over it. You know, that's part of the job. You know, if and when he goes back to center, and I got to believe he will because he's a natural center, you know, I don't worry so much about the mental part of it. But what's frustrating is that they are different positions. Mm-hmm. And so much technique and things that he's been working on for the last 8 months now, now he's got to remember what he was doing 8 months ago. And then when he goes back to center, he's going to have to switch again. And again,
but are they going to move him back to center?
Well, I mean,
that's what's going to be interesting to see, that if this, maybe this works, maybe this is a success, and they just feel really comfortable with it going forward.
I will tell you, though, again, getting back to watching some of that tape, because of his body type and his athleticism, there were times last year when he was a little overmatched at guard.
Yes.
And you can play so much more.
But again,
he
was a young man.
Yeah.
He should have been a senior at Iowa, and he's still a young man. There's a chance for him to get stronger. But I agree with you on that. But maybe this is the switch. Maybe we don't like it, but maybe it ends up working out, and they start protecting Mitch a little bit better, and Mitch is comfortable. That's one thing we're seeing on tape, that Mitch is not comfortable. And we've talked about it, is that him being coached to stay in the pocket too long and not use his legs. You know, who knows what it is, and maybe they know something we don't, and maybe this works out.
Bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Michigan State, Michigan, and Purdue. Season and single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. And this hour is being brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner. Experts are predicting a brutal cold and flu season. The number one flu symptom is fever, so use a thermometer proven accurate by more than 70 clinical studies. We can't always predict the flu season, but we can always prepare for it with the Exergen Temporal Scanner. 312-644-6767 is the phone number if you have a quick question. We're going to break in a moment and visit with Dan Pompey on the other side. You know, Patrick, the other big story this morning is Adam Shaheen will be a healthy scratch. It's the first time when healthy he won't be active as a Chicago Bear since he was drafted in the second round. It has been obvious all season long that he's just not getting anything done on the field. And I think what this tells us is that Matt Nagy, Mark Helfrich, tight ends coach Kevin Kilbride, they're not seeing anything in practice to suggest it's going to get any better.
100%, and Chris Tabor as well on special teams. We saw that fumble or whatever you want to call that last week that ended the game, didn't give the offense a chance. You know, this is – I'm fine with it. This should have been done a couple weeks ago, and they've got a couple guys in the practice squad that Dax Raymond, and I forgot the other young man's name. He's more of a smaller tight end, but maybe it's time
Jesper
to give
Horsman.
Them – yeah, maybe it's time to give them a look. Adam Shaheen is not – given us anything in the run game. We've seen it in the past game. He's not giving us anything, and he doesn't give anything on Sunday on special teams. And your tight end needs to be a guy that can fill in on special teams and play wing, that back guy on the kickoff return, maybe cover on the kickoffs, and he's not doing that. So this has got to be a tough pill to swallow for Ryan Pace, you know, upstairs saying, all right, my second round guy a couple years ago, he's a healthy scratch. That's hard to do, but when you're 3-5, some of these tough decisions need to be made.
Yeah, and Jesper Horsted is strictly a U tight end.
Yeah.
He's a backup for Trey Burton. I don't think you're going to see him. Well, we'll see how the second half of the season goes, but he's unlikely to get a shot yet. He also has only been a tight end for about 8 months or a year. He was a wide receiver in college. He's got a U tight end body. But Dax Raymond is a guy who's got the body type to be the Y tight end. He can play the position that Adam Shaheen plays. I think the issue that we have to remember is they also had to release Bradley Sowell again this week because they had to sign James Waters because you've got Isaiah Irving out with the quad injury. And so you're only going to have three healthy tight ends in uniform today. J.P. Holes has probably been the best looking of the bunch. Ben Broniker is arguably your best coverage guy on special teams right now, but not much of a factor at the tight end position. I really do want to see Raymond, though, because he's a guy who can play that position. And I think they just got caught in a roster crunch with all these moving parts this week that they couldn't really consider activating him off the practice squad.
It'll be interesting to see if Adam Shaheen stays on the roster. If you know he's going to be a healthy scratch for the rest of the season, is it time to move on and just bring Dax Raymond up and say, okay, this didn't work out. This is what's best for the team. And also, I think you're going to see Cornelius Lucas line up at tight end, which you have quite a bit, maybe to help Max protect on the edges. But, yeah, this will be – I mean, it's just hard to see – why would you keep a guy on the roster, even though he's a second-round pick, that's not playing at all, that's a healthy scratch after 3 years? We had Des Clark on earlier. He said he ran out of patience with him.
Yeah, I mean, my guess, Patrick, is that this is like the ultra-shock therapy.
Yeah.
And now they want to see how he reacts in practice this week, you know, see if there's an extra jump in his step. You know, maybe they give him a jersey again in a week or two. My guess is that you take one more crack. I mean, you've gone this far. And you did know, coming out of Ashland College, he was going to take longer than most. But I agree with Dez. I mean, at this point in your third year, I don't care where you played your college. And the other thing that I think people forget, there's a reason he was playing at Ashland College and not at some Power 5
right.
school.
That's
you know?
True.
So we will see if there is any future left for Adam Shaheen. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, a very quick break now here at 670 The Score on the Ameristar Sportsbook Show. The Bears pregame show here. Visit the Ameristar Sportsbook in East Chicago. When we get back, Dan Pompey will join us. That is next right here at 670 The Score.
It stinks, you know, right now. It sucks, you know, but it is what it is. We're not going to bemoan it. We're not going to – it isn't a – you know, poor pitiful me and, you know, point fingers, this, that, and the other. We got a job to do, and everybody understands that. The whole team, the whole locker room. You know, coach does a great job, you know, with our team, you know, and keeping their eyes forward and blinders and earmuffs, all that stuff. Focused on the next one.
Chicago Bears defensive coordinator Chuck Pagano talking about the mood around Hallis Hall right now and all they are doing to get things straight. You've got the Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show featuring Olin Kreutz and Patrick Manley right here at 670 The Score. We are out on the road at Coombs Corner Sports Grill out in Lockport today. Great crowd in here, guys, and you want to be sure and stop by if you get a chance. Going to be here all day. Big Cat Williams will be joining us in a while to watch the game. We'll have a couple hours of postgame for you right here immediately following the Bears-Lions out at Soldier Field. Guys, real quick, we're going to bring Dan Pompey, and I just want to thank, we have like the best crew in the business, and before we get to the end and I run out of time, I believe the executive producer of the Ameristar Sportsbook pregame show is Adam Studzinski. Studs is back in the studio. Chris Dickens is with us here on site. Marshawn Robinson, spinning the dials, does a great job for us, keeps us on the air all day long, and with promotions, Matt Doyle and Sawyer Bach, they're the guys with the swag over there. If you want some good score stuff to take home with you, be sure and stop by and see Matt and Sawyer. And now we welcome in the fourth amigo, if you will. Dan Pompey is with Olin and Patrick and I every week here on our pregame show. And Dan, welcome to the show. A lot of news this morning, man. It's like us reporters are supposed to be doing our jobs. No Matt Stafford, no Adam Shaheen, a switch at center and guard for the Bears. All kinds of change going on at Soldier Field today.
Absolutely. And, you know, I saw that the betting line jumped too when Matthew Stafford was declared out. So I think all of a sudden things changed for the Bears. This is a game now that, you know, they should win handily, because you're looking at a Detroit team that really, you know, without Stafford, what can they do offensively that scares you? You're looking at a, you know, journeyman quarterback in Jeff Driskel, who was just acquired by the Lions at the end of the preseason, after I believe he was waived by the Bengals, you know, because their backup quarterbacks that they had brought in the offseason, including Connor Cook, did not work out. So they went out and picked this guy up. You know, he's never even played in a preseason game in this offense, and no one knows. He's 1-4 as a starter in the NFL. He is an athletic guy. He's a big athletic guy. Was drafted by the Boston Red Sox in baseball. So, you know, he can move a little bit. He had a good 40 time in the at the combine. I believe it's 4.55. So, you know, he's got some things, but clearly has not got the same kind of things that Matthew Stafford has.
Yeah, that was the player to me that was going to give the Lions the edge, obviously, was Matthew Stafford, and as well as he was playing this year. But thank God he's not. And as a player, that's one of those things you hear in the locker room, like, really? Really? Okay, all right, our chances just went up. But I wanted to ask you about Ryan Pace and some of the stuff that's been going on in the news today with Adam Shaheen getting benched and then Mike Davis getting cut after being you know, a prized free agent in this offseason. What does that say about Ryan Pace and the state he's in right now?
Well, I think they are two swings and misses for sure. You know, Mike Davis moved and tainted, as it should be, as a move that helps the Bears with a comp pick. But, you know, you don't sign guys with the hope of cutting them to get a comp pick. That's for sure. And they paid him a lot of money. You know, they paid him about what they could have paid Jordan Howard, for instance. So, you know, I think the Shaheen pick is looking more and more like a bust. And they're looking, you know, if you want to find a lot of players that Ryan Pace has drafted who are performing well, there's not a lot of them right now. So it's been a hard year that way. I mean, I think the perceptions have changed a lot since last year when it seemed like many of his draft picks were doing better. But it's been a struggle this year almost across the board.
Dan, you had mentioned in the top, you know, you got Stafford down. You've also got the Lions' leading tackler, Tracy Walker, is down. A number of other guys are playing hurt. And it seems like the Bears should win this game handily. But kind of a theme of the first couple hours of the show with Olin and Patrick and I is, and I'm sorry if it hurts, but just being honest, are the Bears good enough to beat anybody handily right now?
It's a great question, Hub. I think sometimes in the NFL, teams are never as bad as we think they are or as good as they think they are, and everyone's kind of closer to the middle. And, this could be exactly the type of opportunity for the Bears to get better that they've been hoping for, because, the Lions defense certainly is susceptible to the passing game. I think it's susceptible to a lot of things, but, it's a game that Mitch Trubisky should be able to hit some of the throws that he's been missing, and they should be able to make some big plays. And I think defensively, it's a chance to get after this young quarterback and hit him and confuse him. And, the Lions don't have much of a running game. Of course, they lost Kerryon Johnson earlier this year, and they really haven't even to. They're kind of like the Bears in terms of their offensive personality. They really haven't tried to establish a running game consistently. So maybe that changes today, but I think, if you look at this game on paper, there's no way that you could say it doesn't set up nicely for the Bears.
Dan, there's already been a lot of talk, and you wrote about it in The Athletic, about potential replacements for Mitch Trubisky, and you mentioned this is a game where he should have a good game. If he doesn't and continues to struggle the rest of the year, you anticipate a change. Can you give me a little insight to that article and some of those guys that were mentioned and broken down, I believe, by some other personnel people?
Pat, I think regardless of how Mitch ends the year, unless he really does a complete about-face, the Bears are going to have to do something at the quarterback position moving forward. Whether it's going out and acquiring a new starter or bringing in someone who competes with Mitch or could push Mitch, I think it's something that do, and they're going to have to look at the veteran market hard. And in the story that you referenced, that's what I did. I looked at who would be on the veteran market, and I talked to a bunch of NFL front office men about some of these guys. And, there's some interesting names out there. I don't know that there's anyone who you think is going to deliver you to the promised land, but, you've got Teddy Bridgewater. You've got Jameis Winston. You've got Cam Newton. You have got Marcus Mariota. You've got Ryan Tannehill. You've got a number of guys who the Bears have got to look at as potential players for their team next year. And, some of these guys are under contract, but there's a chance that many of them shake free one way or another. Nick Foles is another one. The Jaguars could say, we kind of like what we look like with Gardner Minshew in there. He's young, he's got potential, and he's cheap. Maybe we could trade Foles for some draft capital or something else and start with Minshew. So there are going to be some interesting options for the Bears at the quarterback position in the offseason. And Ryan Pace and his staff are studying those options right now.
Dan, I think part of my frustration is that we do a lot of this analysis and I read everybody else and we listen to what fans are thinking and what people around the league are thinking. And you almost get a sense like, if it wasn't for Mitch Trubisky, we'd have a 12-4 football team here again. And that's really just not the case. And yeah, you got to address the most important position on the field. But you have to hope that this coaching staff does some self-scouting and self-evaluation, looks at some of the things that they've done that haven't worked out. You got to look at the offensive line. I don't know how you ignore the left tackle position where Charles Leno has really been killing them this year. And then you come over and we talked about tight end. Even on defense, the takeaways haven't been there. We kind of expected that they'd drop off in takeaways, but they have not had the consistent pressure on the quarterback that they had all of last year either. And so while this year we came in thinking this could be a generational defense, that's the expression everybody was using, now you got to think about maybe plugging a few holes there as well.
Very good points, Hub, really. And they have to plug them with, without that first-round draft pick too. Obviously, they have an extra second-round pick, so that helps them some. But, yeah, it isn't just about the quarterback. We always focus all on the quarterback and pile on the quarterback, but really, I think there have been failures across the board on the team this year, certainly at almost every other offensive position. And as you said, the coaching staff, especially I think offensively, has not really done things to always complement the players, what they can do best. So It's back to the drawing board on a lot of different realms, I think, with this team in the offseason.
All right, Dan, it is time for our picks as we're running out of time here. Unfortunately, we were all right last week. Would rather have been wrong, but we all had the Bears struggling in Philadelphia. What do you think happens out there at Soldier Field today?
All right, let's, as we discussed earlier, I mean, the Lions, I think, are really going to struggle unless this Driscoll comes in. You know, he wasn't even anticipating starting this week. I think the Lions all along thought that Matthew Stafford was going to be well enough to start. So he's going to be thrown to the Bears a little bit against a team I think that is looking forward to going against an inexperienced passer, and I'm sure that they're going to be aggressive with him. So I think they'll struggle, and I think the Bears will win 20-10.
All righty, Dan, we appreciate you visiting with us as we do every week. Enjoy the ball game, and we will talk to Dan Pompey again next week on the Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show here at The Score. Patrick, it's left to you and I, and I'll let you go first. What do you think happens out there?
Well, we started the show with saying I don't want to answer the question, how bad are the Bears if they lose to the Lions? So I'm not even going to talk about that. I have the Bears winning 22-16, obviously with the change in quarterback. That sways it in the Bears' favor, but I also think this defense is going to be able to get after Driscoll. I think he's going to just – young quarterback like that is going to hold the ball just for a tick longer, and it's going to allow Khalil Mack and those guys up front to get to him and cause some turnovers.
Yeah, and I think the critical point there is the one that Dan just finished on, is forget the fact that he wasn't with the team until 8-9 weeks ago. You know, this is a guy who all week long was watching Matt Stafford take the snaps, you know. So at the end of the day, it is a bit of a surprise to him as well as the rest of us that he will be playing. Top of the hour is going to be brought to you by Northwestern Football at Ryan Field this month when Wildcats host Purdue and Minnesota in Big Ten play. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at NUSports.com. I put my picks in print earlier in the week every week and never change them if I can help it. I made one exception this year earlier with a dramatic injury change. This year I was already on the Bears. This week I should say I had it Bears 26, Lions 23. I would be really disappointed if the Lions put up 23 points on this Bears defense with Jeff Driscoll, but I'll stay with what I started with. I just don't know that the Bears are completely ready to take advantage of all the breaks that they're getting today. I do think they finally get off the schneid and win the football game, but I'm going to stick with that score of 26-23. We have a ton of people to thank this morning. First of all of our guests, Des Clark. Desmond Clark, former Bears tight end, was here in our Where Are They Now segment. Mark Grody, Dan Pompey. We want to thank our outstanding crew again. Adam Staszynski producing back in the studio. Chris Dickens here on site. Marshawn Robinson, our engineer. And Matt Doyle and Sawyer Bach from Promotions. We want to thank Ron Coomer and everybody here at Coombs Corner Sports Grill out in Lockport. What a great morning it has been so far. We are going to be here through the game and here for post-game as well with Patrick Manley and James Big Cat Williams. Our thanks to our friends at Miller Lite, Hold True. They've made it possible for us to be out on the road. And most of all, our thanks to all of you for listening, for being with us every week. We do appreciate it. Hopefully this will be a good one for you today, guys. Make sure you get back with us as soon as you hear the final gun for postgame. For now, it is Go Bears!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.